special thank you for the prayer. I know I didn't have that in the bulletin, but I appreciate it. And I had shared with the men that I didn't know if it's the effects of this past week that's been really intensive, or possibly there's target for somebody that's been out there praying wrongfully. But anyway, it's very special. It just brought back memory to me that I just share. Some of our people know. I know right where I was standing over at Central Christian, and the administrator said, "Would you go out and give the sermon next Sunday morning to this little church in Kerryville?" And I said, "Okay." I said, "Where's Kerryville?" I had no idea where Kerryville was. I'd been in Hutchison for a while. And I just, in brief, I'd want to say that I feel that God had prepared me for something to help people, but it was over here shortly after I went here on Sunday morning, and some of the men came over Wednesday night to our home and said, or Monday morning, and said, "Would you come back on Wednesday night?" And we're still here. Anyway, it was here that God chose to introduce me to the reality of the battle. And over the years, I feel like he's given me this simple assignment: just honor me and help those that I send to you. And by his grace, we're trying to do that. And I've shared quite a bit of lately about this matter of yoking up with Lord Jesus so that he's in control, and that we'll be where we should be, doing what we should when we should. And I can just tell you, in the lives of some people that have been hurt innocently in their lives over the past, it's been quite a month, but God's doing some very special things. So anyway, I really appreciate the prayer and your heart. We just love you folks and are grateful for you. Lord Jesus, I just ask for your direction of your Spirit as we just share this matter of how that the gospel, to so many, it offends. There's an offense of the gospel. And I just ask, Father, that you would help us to understand. I guess my heart would be that we don't run away from it, that we don't avoid it, and in the midst of it, that we would identify with you, Lord Jesus, and how your coming was so offensive to this world system, to this world, to our enemy, to people that don't understand. But thank you for coming. And we just invite you to direct as we share thoughts to this morning from your word, in Jesus' name, amen. And I would just say that the gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive to the world. His coming was an offensive to the world, because what it does is declare to the world, you are sinners and you can't save yourself. You cannot make yourself right with God. But God loved you enough to provide the way and provide a Savior, dying for your sins, and as a gift to be received, that you can be back right with God. It's a wonderful message, but it just is an offense to those that don't know their special need of God. In 1 Peter 2:7-8, he points out that Jesus is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. He was rejected of the builders, but chosen of God to be the head cornerstone. And this matter of people's being faced with not being right with God is offensive to the old flesh. I think, first of all, of Jesus himself in John 1 just points it out so clearly. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. You think of that. Spoke the world into existence, and of course, then after the fall in the garden, and the disobedience of our first parents, and the world became sort of under the control of the god of this world, Satan. But he was in this world, the world that John 3:16, that God so loved the people of this world and sent him for us. But he was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not, didn't know him. He came into his own, but his own received him not. But I love the next verse. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Every time I read that verse, I just thank God that I chose to receive you. Your people, many of them haven't recognized you yet as Messiah. The world has not basically received him, but as many as did, he gave power to be born into his family, and I praise God for that. And I praise God that God chose to include the Gentile peoples. So there's been several instances lately that have just caused me to want to just share this message. And one of them I share, it's a small offense according to what so many are offended by their life and by their testimony that brings conviction to people. But I was in the home of a Christian home, and saw in the bathroom wipes and some kind of napkins to dry your hands with. And what it said on there is home sweet, let me find it here, home sweet haunted home. I thought, wow, home sweet haunted home. Nice home, nice people. And I see that and I said, I got to do something with that. And so I sat down with them. I explained to them, one of the things I want to share, in most instances, we need to stand for truth. And we can do it very compassionately. And in most kind of instances where we're called upon to help them understand. And I just shared with them, you know, back in the days when I first came to Central and met Mary, Halloween was not what it is for me today. I had not been brought up to preached against and so forth, but I didn't really like it, but it wasn't to in those days, and I just shared with them that maybe it wouldn't have been that big a deal, but I want you to know that I spend most of my time helping people to make sure their homes aren't haunted. And a haunted home is real, to be infested of evil. So I just wanted to confront them and said, that really doesn't belong in your home. And I can understand kind of, there was kind of an offense. You know, you come in and you say, you got something in your home you shouldn't have. Now, that has its own kind of, for a woman, I suppose. I put it there for some special reason, but didn't know what I was putting there. Anyway, the whole situation made me kind of think about just this whole thing of the offense of the gospel. Some great Christian families are running into things where one of their children will go off and participate in some of the things that are going on now in gender identity and those kind of things. And many parents, I believe, they just don't want to hurt their kid, and so they kind of will go along with it. But my encouragement, you have to stand for truth, but keep letting them know you love them. You really care about them. In this matter of Halloween, when I started discovering in the battle how wicked it is, I started here at Berean letting people know that's not something we should participate in at all. And I had some of the older people come to me, "You are taking the fun away from the kiddies." And thought I should not be doing that because it's just a fun thing for the kiddies. I tell you, in my walking, when we go by a house that is so decorated, I just pray for the people there. They don't understand what they're celebrating. Maybe some of them do, but I think most probably don't. But it just reminded me that it's easy in standing for truth to bring offense. And I just wanted to share some things concerning the offense of the gospel that we're all involved in as we walk with the Lord. It's so important, again, I would say, for us to embrace what is truth, but we can do it with great compassion. Paul said in Ephesians 5:11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And there have been some times that I've had to, situations have come up in the family or wherever, that I've had to say, this can't be. You just can't do this. This is not consistent with what should be true of our lives. And the truth is, our lives should be a testimony of the truth. And there is a time to warn. I want to remind you just a little bit of Luke chapter 4. And we go to that because you know what happened in Luke 4. Jesus had been baptized, the Spirit of God had come upon him in power, and he had been allowed himself to be tempted of the devil for 40 days and came through that without any sin. But then he comes home to Nazareth, and I just remind us of this again, that he came and they were used to him being there. He grew up there. They knew him as Joseph's son, Mary's son. And commonly, evidently, he would pick up the scriptures and read, or they would give it to him. And that day they gave him, he was reading Isaiah 61. And quoting that, he read that, and they then gave the scroll or whatever back, and he sat down, and the eyes of them were fixed on him, but because of the graciousness of the word. Now, I want us to just think for a moment of the blessing to that group of people that God the Son came down, read that scripture about himself, and then he said, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." And if you can just try to imagine, we know him. He comes here, we hear him read, we see him, helps his dad. And now he's saying Isaiah 61 is all about me. And in Isaiah 61, and I would just say this about the gospel here, the gospel is offensive to so many people and so many dimensions because of self-sufficiency and pride, and to come and say you are a sinner and you need Christ. I like that it says, "He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." It's the poor. They know they have a need. They know things aren't right, that the gospel is received. But those that feel fine in themselves, they have a hard time with it. But anyway, we know that passage. But then verse 22 says, "They all bore him witness and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son?" I think I can almost identify with the shock of it, that this boy now, this young man, is standing up and he's saying, "Isaiah wrote about me. It's me. I'm here." I'm here, the Spirit of God's on me to do all those things. And so he told them, you surely will say unto me this proverb, physician, heal yourself from whatsoever we have heard. He goes on to say that, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. And it is really tough. Those that grow up and God uses, but here it is, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he starts telling them how several instances that God has used Gentiles along the way to do his work and perform his will. And it says then in verse 28, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Think about offense. Hometown boy, man in Nazareth, saying he is God the Son. It offended them. They wanted to kill him right there, coming out of the service in the synagogue. So, and that's why the gospel is offensive to people on several ways. for our own fallen flesh, which has a tendency to be filled with pride, has a tendency to be self-sufficient. I can handle this. I can do this. And you're saying that I'm dependent on God and I'm dependent on what he has done for me. And of course, Satan certainly is in power to blind eyes and to come against that in a big way. And even the world system promises to be a blessing. And so there's so many ways that the gospel, I don't need it. It's wrong. I don't see myself as a sinner. I don't have that need. But Jesus did come to rescue. And so we see he was offended. He was not accepted. He's in a world that he made, and the world didn't know him. They didn't receive him. But those that are open to it became the sons of God and children of God. In John 17 and verse 18, just taking a moment from that, he says to the Father, he's in this prayer, that one of his prayers is written down there, as you have sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world, that the world may believe that you've sent me. And so in a real way, and that's why the verse really that I had at the bottom there, where Jesus said on another occasion, John 15:20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they also would keep yours. There's going to be different responses to the gospel. And so I wanted us to just look for briefly here at what Peter had to say in 1 Peter 4, because he is writing to those that are going through it and those that are suffering. And it's been pretty blessed in this country over the past years that people have seen this as kind of a Christian nation, and that Christianity was not the threat that it's becoming. And we don't know what the days are ahead like, but we well may face days, and my children, grandchildren may face days, if the Lord doesn't come back soon and take us home, that it's so unpopular to follow Christ and to be a Christian. And so Peter is writing in these early days to those that were going through that. And I would just have you notice a couple things there at verse 12, where he says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. And to those that all of a sudden it's not popular, your stand. I don't know, sometimes in your business or something, if you have to take a stand and you don't get involved in some things, they're not going to understand you, and it's offensive to them and so forth. He's saying, be glad. And he talks about this matter of suffering with Christ for his glory. And I just would take us back for a moment just to refer to it back in Philippians, where Paul is telling how that everything that he thought was so important, and his very strict living as a Pharisee and so forth, and that he's causing people to suffer that follow Christ, and then he meets Jesus and he finds out the truth. And in the passage in Philippians, he says, this is now my desire. I count everything that I thought was so important as just garbage, that I may win Christ, that I may know him. I really want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. But then he says, and the fellowship of his sufferings, that I might be made conformable to his death. And I just think it's a mindset that we need to have. If we come into a situation that our stand for Jesus is unpopular, whether it's the people around me, whether it's members of my family, whatever, that I need to be able to come to a place of identifying with what Jesus went through. Just think about coming into the world you made and not being known and not being welcome, but for those that receive him. He goes on to say, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and God resteth upon you. And I just have to stop and think about Peter in his denial and how he must look back on that. God included it in the word to know his failure because he had the fear of man. He had the fear of man. He didn't want to suffer with Jesus at that point. You're one of them, the girl said. Oh, no, not me. But now he's come to the place and the Spirit of God is in him and God's using him now to be able to say, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. He goes on in verse 15 to say, don't suffer because wrongdoing. That's not the kind of suffering I'm talking about. Yet, verse 16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, let him glorify God on this behalf. So, I don't know everyone's situations, I don't know the things, I don't know what is coming for us, but we need to have that kind of mindset if we take a stand for truth. If we take a stand for Christ and it is rejected, it is offensive, it troubles somebody, Peter says, you should be happy because you're doing what's right. You're taking a stand for truth. I did put a note down here that I went into that bathroom sometime later and I saw they were gone and some beautiful ones were there. Well, praise God for that. I would say, Lord, help us to be faithful to stand for truth and to be compassionate. And if it offends, don't in your flesh be offensive, but let the truth be offensive. When that is offending, then Peter says, be happy and realize that you are sharing in his suffering. And think about what he went through, coming to rescue us, the very truth of God, the Son of God. Amy Carmichael, and I thought I'd just bring this back to you. It's a reminder that I was reading this in the past. She writes, "Hast thou no scar? No hidden scar on foot or side or hand? I hear thee sung as mighty in the land. I hear them hail thy bright ascendant star. Hast thou no scar? No wound, no scar, yet as the master shall the servant be, and pierced are the feet that follow me, but thine are whole. Can he have followed far who hath no wound nor scar?" Just set that question before myself, before our family, before us here today. Can he have followed far who hath no wound nor scar? May God help us as we stand for truth. May our testimony even be offensive to some. Living right, loving Jesus, doing what's right. And maybe there are those times that we just need to speak the word, or some of those times that we need to warn, say, this really doesn't belong here. And if it offends, try to be as compassionate as you can, pray for them, but leave the truth. I think that's where Jesus wants us to be. Lord Jesus, I just marvel. I marvel at your grace coming here because of your love, the Father's love, desperate love for us that have gone our own way, been born in sinful natures, living in a world that's a system against you, God, with an enemy that wants to captivate and hold us for his purposes. But I thank you that you came. I thank you for the privilege every person here that knows Christ, and to some degree or other, as their life becomes an offense to others, God, would you help us to identify with you, Lord Jesus, and somehow the fellowship of your suffering in whatever that person is going through. So, Lord, I commit all of us. We have all kinds of different situations that go on, and my prayer would be that we would not back off for standing for the truth. And I just pray for those families that have somebody wandering off and they just don't want to offend that child. And Lord, there have been a number of them getting in touch with me that's going on, that they would let that child know the truth, but I'll always love you. I'm always here for you. So Lord, help us to do it right by your grace and the power of your Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like us just to sing a verse of "Close to Thee," because in a darkening day, we need that. We need to have that closeness to our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just ask you to stand. I'm just going to have us sing the second verse, 424. "Not for ease or worldly pleasure, not for fame, my prayer shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee." To fellowship with his sufferings, if that comes into your life, may it be so. Verse 2. Just before closing prayer, again, thank you folks for praying. And I do appreciate your prayer for us that God will protect and use us as he sees fit. So Lord, thank you for just this church family. I pray your rich blessing on them, and I choose to place your name on them for you to bless them. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.